Chapter 6. Best Served Cold. High in a lonely tower of Souladea, Gabriel de Lyon leaned forward slow, topping up his goblet of wine. Jean-Francois studied the last Silver Saint's features, the steel-grey eyes and sword-sharp jaw, the telltale scars wrought upon his tattooed skin.
"You certainly did have a way with women, de Lyon."
"I think, rather, they had their way with me."
"Perhaps," the vampire chuckled. "Still, I fear your history with them is the sort I do not wish upon my worst enemy."
Gabriel frowned, toying with his wine.
"That saying always struck me as strange, you know. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. It's supposed to describe a pain indescribable, oui? As if by refusing to wish it on the one you despise most, you place it in a tier above all others. But the worst pain I ever felt? Perhaps I'm a cunt, cold blood, but the thought of my enemies suffering it too makes the notion I had to live through it a little easier to bear."
The last Silver Saint downed his goblet with a single swallow.
"Seems to me, if you're describing your pain as one you wouldn't inflict upon your worst foe, either you need a better vocabulary, or you need a better kind of enemy."
"And you had one now in Mademoiselle Dunzer?"
Jean-Francois licked his thumb slowly, turned a new page.
"Or did you kiss and make up once tempers had cooled?"
"Not exactly."
Gabriel picked up the bottle with tattooed hands, refilling his goblet again.
"When I knocked on her door the next morning, Phoebe was gone."
The vampire blinked.
"She abandoned you?"
"Depends how you look at it," Gabriel shrugged.
"I knew an old bookseller in Augustin once. Kept a little shop off the Rue des Méchants. Mademoiselle Tatiana, her name. To keep her company in her dotage, Tatiana had two pets. A dog, named Monsieur Boots, and a cat, named Spatula. She cared for them like her own children, and they loved her just as dear. But back in the fell winter of 63, old Dame Tatiana up and died. Took 2 weeks for anyone to realize. Breaking into her shop, her neighbors discovered Tatiana's body in the storeroom. Monsieur Boots lay cold and still at his mistress's side, and beside him, warm and well, sat Spatula, cleaning his paws. The hound had starved to death. The cat had been chewing on his old mistress to keep himself alive. That's the difference between canines and felines, cold blood. The former will love you unconditionally. The latter will tolerate you until they don't.
Gabriel leaned back and took another long swallow of wine.
I had made a fool of her. No woman I ever met took that with a smile. My clothes had been laid out for me at least, cleaned of the blood and filth of the road. A muddy dawn was blooming as I hurried down to the White Rabbit's common room, where Fee kissed me fair dawning and served me a swift breakfast. My old comrade handed me a heavy winter cloak and a few packs, bulging with supplies for my journey. Trying to buckle on her old sword belt, she shot me a wry smile as she realized it no longer fit about her waist.
"Time eats us all alive," she sighed.
I smiled, ruefully scratching my head.
I might have broken your bed.
That kind of evening, was it?
The old dame peered behind me,
frowning as she realized Phoebe was nowhere to be seen.
And where's your fellow vandal?
She was gone when I woke up.
Ah, that kind of evening. The way you two bicker, I should have known.
I frowned. Phoebe and I don't bicker.
Seven martyrs, she scoffed. All the pair of you need are some pet names and a dash of joyless shagging, and you'd be a married couple.
Fuck off, Fee. The old dame chuckled, shaking her head. Throwing on the cloak she'd given me, I looked upon the homely hearth of her little tavern one last time. Last night's revels had been welcome warmth on a long, cold road. But Dior was still in the clutches of the Divoc, and only I could save her now. Fee and I made our way through dawn streets, crowded with the starving and dispossessed, off to a farrier's hold on the keep side of the city.
I knew not by what magic she managed it. Horses were worth a fortune those nights. But Fiona soon brought me around back and presented me with a fine gelding, already saddled. He was a tall war horse with a braided mane and a distinctive pale pattern in the silver-grey of his shaggy coat. White forelegs and a patch about his face that looked almost like a skull. He was that Ossian breed known as a Tarian, famed for their courage and endurance. "Is this your old Titan?" I whispered in wonder, stroking the beast's mane. Fiona shook her head. "I put Titan to stud years back. This is the best of his sons. His name is Argent." She smiled at me fondly, handed me the reins. Seemed appropriate. I shook my head, lost for words. Here was another too swift parting, just as with Lachlan. A friend resurfacing from past night, vanishing in the flood I was drowning in today. World being what it was, I knew this might be the last time we met. "God morrow, sister," I said, eyes burning. "And merci for everything." "You look after yourself," Fiona warned. "If you're headed where I think you're headed, those bastards will never forgive what you did to Tolyev, Gabby." I caught her up in my arms, squeezing tight. "It was good to see you again, mon ami." "You too. Remember what I said about enjoying the music while you can. And watch this surly ass out there, eh?" She squeezed me harder, then gave me a slap on the backside to part us. "There's still a few of us who'd miss it if it were gone." And then I was. Riding through the crowded dockside gates into a soup of cold mist dusted with thin snow. I rode through that shantytown around the walls. So many lives, so many futures perished to cold blood hungers. But still, my heart was warmed to be back on Dior's trail, and Argent was a sure-footed fellow, trotting across the frozen Volta without fear. "I feel it only fair to warn you," I said as we reached the far bank. "I don't have the best luck with horses lately, or rather, they've not had best luck around me." The Tarian nickered in response, looking unconcerned, and so I nudged him into a trot. The woods were silent, save for the howling wind, the thud of Argent's hooves across the frost. As my new steed seethed beneath me, rolling muscle and heaving breath, I kept my head down. Tricorn pulled low, wondering if Phoebe had come this way. My mind was a storm when I thought of her, blood thrilling at the memory of her in my bed, tempered by the weight of the ring on my finger, the chill of that shadow that yet haunted my dreams. But the Dusk Dancer never left tracks, and if she'd taken this path, I found no trace of her. The only signs of life in the deadwood were rabbit spoor and the occasional squirrel, and the shadow of wings passing swift overhead. Turning southward, I reached out once more toward Dior. I realized she was moving slower now, and I found my pulse quickening with the hope I might actually catch her up before the Divok reached their destination. I should have fucking known better. Gabriel sighed, watching that pale moth flitting about the globe. They hit me on the third night. I knew they were coming by then. I'd marked those wings once too often, caught a glimpse of a mouse hawk through the dead branches, the same one Phoebe and I had seen up in the Nightstone. They'd been tracking me a while, it seemed, drawing closer as I rode southward, skirting the edge of Dread Fedena, the Forest of Sorrows. But they were clever when they finally came, waiting till the small hours to strike. Brave Argent was slumbering beside a dead elm, the lonely figure of the Tarian's new master huddled among the tree's roots, my cloak pulled low, my boots protruding beneath the frayed hem. The crossbow bolt whistled out of the darkness, trailing a length of silver chain behind. It struck the cloth where my chest would have been, punching through the saddlebags beneath. The marksman cursed, my ruse spotted in a moment. But that moment was all I needed, striking from the shadows and burying ash deep into the fellow's bowels.
"Lovely red, tasty red, snick snack, snick snack."
The fellow grunted, eye twisted, blood spraying in the night. The crossbow fell from his hands and I caught a glimpse of silver, a 7-star embroidered on his greatcoat. But I'd no time to curse my ill fortune. Another figure barreling from the dark like a cannon shot, 4 feet thudding on frost. A hound, I realised, stout and pig-eyed, bright fangs bared. I stepped aside her charge, raising ash, but shots rang out then, 1, 2, boom, boom, and I gasped as double slugs of silver shot blasted a couple of unasked-for holes in my favourite chest.
Oh, pretty one, oh, we remember you.
I managed to keep a grip on Ash, turning as another shape flew at me from between the dead trees, black coat and silver steel greatsword, the gleam of another 7-star. The saint's collar was laced over his face, tricorn dragged low, just a glimpse of hard green eyes as he flew right at me. I parried, desperate, blood spilling down my chest, spattering on my bare feet. Our blades met, the song of steel ringing bright in the halls of memory. He was dosed on Sanctus, and I was dry, but still, we danced as once we'd done, matching blow for blow. If we duelled heads up, I'd no clue who'd have proved the victor. He fought like the demon I'd trained him to be. But one-on-one wasn't the game we played. The hound flew at me again, seizing a mouthful of shin just as another crossbow bolt sang from the shadows. The sawtooth head punched through my shoulder blade, spring-loaded claw snapping open inside me. I was wrenched off my feet, roaring as I hit the snow, hound still tearing at my leg. She yelped as I kicked her, my hand clawing the frost as I rolled upright, coughing blood. But I gasped in agony as I felt something hard and sharp scrape across my spine, erupting out of my chest in a spray of red. "You're back," a voice hissed. "My blade." The first saint was on me then, holding his guts in with one hand as he tried to wrest ash from my grip. Something crashed into my skull, sending me sprawling. I heard many feet then, a dozen pairs at least, charging from all around as a cry echoed in the night. "Do not kill him, but do not treat him well." Boots rained into my ribs, the back of my head, the sound of tolling bells and cracking bone ringing in time with their kicks. I curled into a ball on the frost, forearms up to protect my face, night burning bright as the long-lost day. Gasping, bleeding, I was rolled onto my back. A familiar figure unlaced his collar as he looked down at me, square jaw dusted with stubble and silver roses.
Lachlan, I whispered, "don't."
My old apprentice clenched his fangs, raised one tattooed hand. "Fucking traitor," he spat. And like a sledgehammer, his fist fell.